Hope you're liking our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. I'd like you to become our Employee of the Month. I'll even hook you up with a $100 Visa gift card for being the Office Horror Stories Employee of the Month. Huh? That beats any parking spot or having your name on a crappy little plaque down a hall that nobody walks through, huh? For your chance to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month, all you have to do is give us a review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. Then, shoot me an email with a screenshot. It's that easy. You're entered to win the $100 Visa gift card and title of Employee of the Month. So, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, leave your review of Office Horror Stories, then email that to me. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, T-O-N-Y, at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and you're entered. Once a month, we'll pick a brand new Employee of the Month, give them a $100 Visa gift card, and you, by leaving that review, help spread the word that this show exists. As many employers like to say, it's a win-win, huh? Leave that review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, send me the proof, and you are entered. Go ahead, go get it done right now. Thank you for the support, and we'll let you know. Have you ever been asked to do something that was far outside of your job description? How'd you handle it? When what you're asked to do is not only dangerous, but crazy as well. That's what we talk about today on Office Horror Stories.
Welcome to the world of crazy workplaces, Office Horror Stories.
Have a crazy workplace story to share? Call in toll free.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
1-833-HATE-JOB.
Or write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. This is Office Horror Stories.
That it is. And 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number to share your Office Horror Story with us. Write in at OfficeHorrorStories.com. We would love to hear from you. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That helps us grow the program, lets folks know that we exist, help climb up in those rankings. And when you do so, shoot me a screenshot of it. Send it to Tony at OfficeHorrorStories.com, and I'll put you in the drawing to be our Employee of the Month, which consists of getting a $100 gift card and the fictitious title of Employee of the Month, because that's what we'd like to do to make you feel special inside. Were you ever Employee of the Month anywhere?
No.
Did you ever get that title?
No. I didn't.
No, you're never going to get it here, but...
I know.
We should just do that. We should create an Employee of the Month, like one of those little like plaques, and then put a bad picture of us in it, where it's kind of like taken where you really don't want your picture taken at that moment. It's kind of a half-assed smile, like, oh, you got a camera. Mm-hmm. And then we just put a new one up every... we just rotate it between the two of us. We could vote for who's Employee of the Month every month, too.
Maybe Sting or Bear.
The dogs. Mm-hmm. They become the Employees of the Month. I don't think I ever was Employee of the Month. Was I ever Employee of the Month?
Not that I know
There's
of.
Only one radio station I worked at that ever did that sort of a program. I think one time early on when it was my last station I was at, early on when I was there, the general manager at the time, he came over to me. He's like, you know, today's our first, cause they did it like once a month, this sort of luncheon thing, this morale building lunch. And then they would crown the Employee of the Month. And I remember him coming up to me before it going, hey, you know, we're really happy you're here. You know, we do our Employee of the Month today. And, you know, you have made some amazing contributions to this workplace environment and a whole bunch of other, you know, bullshitty type, corporate speak. And I'm thinking like, oh, he's like kind of prepping me to like know that I better be at this lunch because I'm going to get the Employee of the Month. Because he was just like going on and like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was you this month. Nope, not me. Not me at all. I guess that was just like kind of and I wasn't expecting it either. I didn't really care or want it. I don't like the attention. I don't like attention in that sort of a way. But was that like a tactic of like, if you're not going to get the award, do you just go and kind of build people up and...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you have to preemptively build them up so that they feel like they are just as important as the person getting the award.
Damn. Yeah, I guess that shit doesn't work on me. It just confused me. I'm like oh, I'm guessing he's telling me this so I don't leave the lunch early and go do actual work.
Yeah.
Which is what I liked to do, was work for the company rather than sit there and eat Doritos and have everybody just kind of like, oh, hi, I'm glad we're all eating together, even though most of us don't want to be in the same room.
I've always thought Employee of the Month was kind of stupid.
Yeah.
So there have been more than one time where I parked in the employee of the month's parking spot at a retail store just because if it's empty, they're not there.
It would be a great move. And I bet I could see it happening today. Years ago, if a customer parked in the employee of the month spot, the store would be like, well, they're a customer. We can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, today I could see them totally towing the car. Going, you parked in, no, we have rules, we have standards, and we have to keep our employees happy, and you were violating their employee of the monthness or something. I don't know. I could totally see that happening today, though.
Probably, but I don't care. I was pissy because that was the only spot that was open, so I took it.
Yeah. Well, there are like ridiculous amounts of parking reserved now than there ever used to be.
Yeah.
It's like, what? I didn't know this was a thing now. Yeah. It's like, there's a new invention every time you go to a store. Between that and then like the curbside pickup. It's like now everyone's parking at the end of the parking lot and the front of the parking lot. I think they even like, they took away handicap spots in some cases. The other day I was literally looking for handicap spots because I was kind of like thinking, well, you have parking spots for everyone except for the handicap now. It's like, we've kind of forgotten like the whole original reason for the close to the store spots was the handicap spot. Mm-hmm. Totally doable. It makes sense. I understand why you have that. But now you got like, you know, pickup parking. You got parking for people who missed their dog that died when they were 10 spots and like everything. It's really kind of like, wow, that's great. We had a fun experience over the weekend.
Which one are you going to talk about?
The one that stands out to me, maybe there's more than one. Maybe my mind just is still set on the one. I'm talking about the employee at the hotel.
Oh, yeah. That one's bad.
Do you have another one?
No, I was thinking maybe you were going to talk about the Uber driver who also was the taxi driver in Home Alone 2.
What part of the Uber experience are you referring to exactly?
The smelling part.
Oh, the smelling part, yes. Yeah, it was some of the smelliest Ubering I think we've had ever.
It was terrible.
Yeah. Come on, Tulsa, you got to pick up the ball on this because it was, it was like, geez. And that was like the upgraded Uber because they didn't have any of the normal Ubers available either. Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of sad. No, I was talking more about the hotel experience. And so we're at the hotel and we're hanging out by the pool with Harp. And, you know, it's an okay pool. You know, kids were being kids and playing around and everything and having a good time. And there's probably about, I don't know, 15, 20 kids in the pool.
A lot of kids.
Around there. Bunch of parents kind of off to the sides and whatnot. And, you know, nobody is being, you know, overly inappropriate or loud or annoyingly noisy.
They were all playing together. They were playing Marco Polo.
Yeah. They were being well behaved.
Yeah.
Really for the most part. Then this I call her the towel bitch. And you'll understand why bitch has been added to her title of towel bitch. Because she really truly was a bitch. Or maybe towel bitch bigot maybe is more the
something like that,
more the appropriate thing. And this is not demeaning anyone for that being their job, but this I'm pretty sure was not in the job description. There were about 13 white kids in the pool and 2 African-American kids in the pool, and then there's all pretty much just white parents sitting around the pool,
which means nothing in this day and age.
Means nothing at this day and age. But she specifically, and she didn't like walk around to ask everybody whose kids are yours or everybody point who your parents are, because we have a rule. You can only be in the pool with a parent. I understand that rule. But she just goes directly over to the 2 African-American girls who were probably some of the most well-behaved in the pool.
Yeah.
And you know, they're playing with the other kids. Everybody's getting along good. And she looks at them and says, you two have to get out because your parents aren't in the pool here with you. So you're going to have to, we have that rule and you got to get out. And they're just like looking at her like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. And we're kind of sitting there too, like, what the fuck?
I was kind of stunned that that was going on. I think I would have, looking back, confronted the towel bitch.
I know. I wish I would have.
But I was like, is this really happening?
Part of me was like, because I kind of caught it like midway as it was going on. And then I'm like, you know, you try to like hone in and like, am I seeing what I'm thinking I'm seeing? Am I understanding what I think I'm understanding at this moment in time? Because I didn't want to like jump in if like that's totally not what's happening. But then it's like, oh, that is exactly what just happened.
Yeah.
And the two little girls are like, they knew what was going on. They weren't like itty bitty. They were probably like, you know, 10 to 14. I don't know, somewhere in that range.
They were like 10 to 12.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, you know, they're not going to get into it with the towel bigot bitch. And they get, you know, their stuff on and they head back up to their room. And I went over to the front desk then and I said, can I talk to you about something I just saw at the pool? And I explained the story. He's like, oh, we're so sorry that you had to experience that. And I'm like, I don't want anything for free. Because that's normally, I think, what hotels get.
Right.
When you kind of come, like, I here's what I want. Get rid of her. That's it. That's all I want. She shouldn't be employed here. She shouldn't be doing that. There's no correcting people like this. She should be told what happened. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel there's a whole lot of, you're going to change this person's persona of this is what I should do. So, yeah, that was...
I just felt so bad afterwards because I should have even just said, they're with me, you know, just so they could stay because they were being good. But,
yeah,
you know.
It's all these things where you want to swoop in after the fact.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the whole injustice thing. And I'm not like uber woke person or anything like that. It was just fucking wrong.
Yeah. It was so just right there in front of everybody.
Yeah.
There was no doubt about what was going on.
Yeah. So it was just shitty. I think I saw the mom later talking to the manager as we were walking out.
Good.
Because as we were walking out past and the little girls were standing by this lady, so I'm assuming must be mom or somebody, some parental guardian figure. And she was kind of, I could tell she was a little perturbed because I'm guessing girls told mom and then he was talking to the mom was talking to the manager. And I didn't stop or say anything, but I did see the manager point over at us as we were walking past going, yeah, he's the one like something like he's the one who reported it to me first or something. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, good. This is all going back into the, you know, feedback chain of this shit can't be going on.
But
it happens.
I doubt she's going to lose her job.
I'm going to call that hotel daily until she's fired.
You do that. You do that.
Will that work? I mean, are they just gonna, or do they turn the tables on me going, you're harassing the hotel?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Like, we don't have to tell you we're going to fire anybody.
And I don't know if we just had the bad luck of picking the wrong places to go in Tulsa. Maybe we just missed the good part of Tulsa.
But I don't know.
Where we were, it was
just kind of a, we made the best of the weekend, but.
We've heard from so many people, oh, it's fun over there. You got to go check it out.
I don't know.
What part did we miss?
Where did we miss? We did the last thing we did though was pretty neat.
The gathering place,
which is one of the biggest outdoor. And I don't want to say the word playground because you think of like slides. It's like miniature theme park ish.
Yeah.
As far as like their play things, it's amazing the way this thing is set up. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that was really neat. But I don't know. I don't know what I'm missing about the city because I'd heard so many good things too. And we kind of got around to many places and it was all kind of like, okay, what am I missing? I don't know.
It's just bad experience.
Enlighten me, anyone, if there's something that we should check out.
I don't want a dog in anybody's hometown.
No.
Tell us what we need to do next time.
Tell us what we're missing there. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number to share your office horror stories with us. Maybe we'll get an office horror story from Tell Bigot Bitch. You know, it's like, and then I was fired for being a bigot. What is this world coming to? You know, who knows? First letter hit says several years ago, the startup where I worked had moved operations from New York City to a much smaller, less exciting location. And with little desire to relocate out of New York, I started to look for new jobs because my experience was loosely related to marketing. I was looking for jobs in the marketing, the marketing adjacent field. In one instance, I submitted my resume to a company that was looking for entry level marketing executives. The next day, I got an email asking to come in for an in-person interview. I went in later that week for the interview. I got into the office, which looked like a rundown doctor's office, and was an unfinished building in the financial district and was herded into a waiting room with many other people. After waiting for 30 minutes, I was brought into an office where an interviewer listed off various generic job responsibilities related to agency work. asked if it sounded like something I could do, and then explained that I was one of 30 people they were interviewing. They'd bring back 5 people the next day for a day's worth of interviews, and then at the end of the day, hire one of them. All in all, the entire interview lasted just 5 minutes. Later that day, I got a call explaining that I was one of the 5 people they wanted to call back for stage 2. So I was told to return to the office at 9 a.m. the next day. I get there and find that there are 4 other people waiting as well. As we wait, the tiny waiting room fills up until there are more than 30 people packed together. While this is happening, we hear house music ominously blasting in the back room. And after a while, we hear loud chanting and shouting coming as well. Against my better judgment, I chose to stay until my name is called. The interviewer explains that because the office is so crowded, we must have an interview at Starbucks. And the way he explains that my job would involve none of the responsibilities listed in the job description. Instead, it involved walking up to people on the subway to get them to sign up for cell phone deals, and my salary would be entirely commission-based. The minute he finished his sentence, I turned around and walked away. It's the only time I have walked out of an interview.
Yeah, I think that was rightfully so.
That sort of stuff exists, though. Ugh. It's you know, it's those marketing position and this or that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that stuff is out there. And some people, you know, you can be in a situation where you desperately need a job or something, like, well, I'll try doing this for a little while because, you know, I get it. But that would be hellish.
Yeah.
To have to do that sort of a job. One of them that I remember when I was like job searching many a moons ago, probably 20 years ago, the first time I considered getting out of radio, there was something where it was a talent scout. A talent scout.
Okay.
Like, what the hell is this? Because it's like, okay, well, what is this all about? And it's something very similar to this. Essentially, it was to walk up to people. And I don't think this would fly today because I think it's like Me Too would kick its ass to the ground. And it just sounded like such a creepy position. And it was entirely commission-based. Essentially, you'd have to walk up to what you would deem as like model-esque attractive looking women and encourage them to go and try out to be a model at whatever the shitty conference room that somebody rented out is. And then I think the system works from there is like where they then sign up and then they have to pay a whole bunch of fees to get like their pictures done. It's a big fucking scam.
Yeah.
It's just a big multi-level marketing scam. Mm-hmm. But to get the people there, they need the scouts to get people to do it. And I, having had some marketing background, when I typed in whatever the search engine of the day was, you know, marketing experience, that was the suggested, you know, you might be interested in this.
Did you do it?
No.
Okay.
Fuck no. No, but I was really curious as to what the fuck it was. Cause it was unlike any of the other jobs that were posted. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this just sounds really weird. And get on something of like, what is this? Mm-hmm. Like, I just got to keep digging. And I dug and I dug and I dug and I dug. And then I found out, oh, okay, that's what this is. That's creepy as shit.
It is.
I mean, I'm guessing, I mean, have you ever had anybody come up to you like, like years ago when we were, because like it was like we were 20, I don't know if we were even 21 yet when I saw this position. So we would have been like our early 20s. It was clearly like they wanted people that were like fresh out of high school or college age, you know, to go after people who are fresh out of high school or college age that will, you know, fit this description.
Not like that. No.
No, nobody creepy that was.
No.
No. No. But yeah, that sort of shit existed. God. Probably still does to a certain extent. I don't know. I remember hearing commercials. For stuff, I remember being on stations where ads for these sort of companies were
model
run.
Search.
Yes, that sort of thing.
Go to the mall.
Yeah, go to the Center Court Mall of the abandoned West Acres. It's like nothing in there except like 4 creepy men with, you know, spray on hair, and they're gonna make your modeling career come true. We've cast people in such shows as Felicity. It's like, I think that show went off the air about 20 years ago.
Right.
They start rattling off the Jeffersons and more. Really? The Jeffersons? How recently was this? But yeah, that sort of shit exists. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't, if it didn't make money, it wouldn't be going on. There's enough people that sign up for that shit.
I don't know that it still goes on, though.
I'd be curious to hear of anyone who had a success story that, yeah, that wasn't bilked out of money, mm-hmm, or didn't have a zealous parent who was like, we're going to make you a star, sunshine, and, you know, takes her kids there in their pageant outfit. And then, you know, pays in got whatever ungodly amount of money, mm-hmm, to make a child a star. And they just end up, you know, being out of $700,
yeah,
or whatever. And then they got some glorified glamour shots,
right, out of it.
Does glamour shots still exist?
I don't think so.
That would be, I wonder. I'm really.
Are you going to Google it?
I'm going to Google glamour shots, because okay, that used to be like in every shopping mall. Explain glamour shots to the younger audience if they don't remember what glamour
is. You could go in and they would basically do your hair and your makeup and take your picture and different outfits. And it's all fuzzy looking, like filters on Instagram, but way worse. And it was supposed to make you look like, you know, completely different than how you really looked.
This shit still exists.
Honey. Glamour Shots does.
It exists. There's not many locations. So their website's there. And I went to the locate a store.
Yeah.
It is in 3 states.
Okay.
There are still, there's one there.
Where?
One there. This is part of the game. Stand by.
Come on.
No, we're going to play the game. Okay. There are, from what I can tell, 4 glamour shot locations still in existence.
Okay.
From God knows, there had to have been probably hundreds, if not thousands, mm-hmm, in every shopping mall in the country. Okay, this is like Family Feud. Glamour Shots still exists in what state?
Florida. Okay.
Nope.
Go ahead. Okay.
A survey of 10,000 people said glamour shots still exist in what state? You get another guess. You get three things and you're out.
Here?
Arkansas?
I could see it.
Survey says Arkansas.
Okay, come on, just tell me.
Yeah, one more.
I don't want to play this
one
game.
More. One more state. Then if you don't get it, then we have to reveal the board.
Because I'm from Texas, I can say Texas.
Glamour shots still exists in Texas. Survey says, ding, 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 ding.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
El Paso.
Oh, wow.
There is a glamour shots in El Paso, but they're closed Sundays and Mondays.
Okay.
Just in case you
need to go to church.
You want to go to church? Can't get your glamour shots done.
What other states?
You have one more guess.
No, I don't.
If you can guess the other 2 states,
no,
you will win the big prize.
I'm not playing anymore. Just tell me.
Playing Glamour Shot Family Feud, damn it.
Come on.
Kentucky.
Okay.
There, you're like, I totally understand that. Louisville, again, closed Sundays and Mondays. And New Jersey,
huh,
of all places, still has, I don't know New Jersey well enough to judge it.
Yeah.
To say. Although if you like think of Jersey Shores, I guess, maybe, okay.
So that was 3 states. What's the last one?
That's the 3 states. I didn't say there was 4 states.
I thought you said there were 4 states.
4 stores in 3 states.
Oh, okay.
Jersey has 2. And cool. Freehold and Bridgewater.
Okay.
So those ones, incidentally, are open Sundays and Mondays. So there you go. No church needed in Jersey to get your glamour shot.
Okay.
So, well, glad we've informed the world of that still existing. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number at Office Horror Stories. Next letter. Says, it involves both me and my coworker that I'll call W. Sorry, I'm not creative. C is a customer and M is me. I'm not sure if anyone is supposed to be checking up on prices, but after this first incident, I think we should be. Anyways, we had a price tag up for a certain air freshener. It read $1. However, when W rang up the item, it came up as $1.50. The lady with her husband immediately took the bait and jumped on that. See, the tag said that it was $1. She mouthed off something about false advertising, and W looked a bit nervous, although calm as well. I offered to go look for the tag because even though I was the cashier at the shift, there was no line, and W was there if there was a problem. I bring the tag to the front, and it says $1, and I and her both check the barcode up against the one on the tag, and they are the same. I pocketed the tags since I had pulled up, since I pulled all them down to avoid further conflict, and upon W's suggestion, ran off to find a candle or something that was a dollar to scan in place, since the customer was becoming irate over this 50-cent mishap, and I was trying to correct. W showed them the candle and told them that she would scan it in place of the item, and they verified that it said, and they verified it and said that was fine. The purchase was completed and they left. Then they came back. Customer says, "What the hell is this?" Holding up the receipt. The other manager, "I scanned that item for a dollar so that you only got charged the dollar like you expected. I took the air freshener off." Customer mouthed off, cursed out W some more, and told her that they should have gotten it for free. That made no sense. W told them that she can't do that. There's rules. And the customer tells her, word for word, "The customer is always right." Never thought I would hear that. They caused some more ruckus and then left. Security came in right after, and W and security joked around about the horrors of the "customers are always right" type of policies. They came back to the store just to ask us for it for free. And when they were denied, they yelled at us. "The only thing I'll give them for free is a free ticket out the door." They were regular shoppers, but I haven't seen them since. I don't really care anyways.
What kind of person does that? Over 50 cents, you ruin somebody's day.
I don't know.
And see, to me, if it were mislabeled, I'd be like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was a dollar. I won't be buying it."
Well, and the fact that the store went above and beyond to fix it and weren't just like, "Well, that's what it rings up as. I got no control over it."
I know.
It's like, well, then you just don't buy it. But they did everything to correct it. They went as far as scanning another item. A lot of stores won't do that because they'll be like, "Well, it screws with their inventory, so I can't," you know. And I get that, sure. But it's like you had everything. It comes down to they wanted to get something for free.
And I hate people that are like that.
And it's a dollar.
I can't stand it when that happens because it's just like, what? It's just reinforcing that behavior.
Well, what the hell is that? Where it's like, I'm going to get something for free when you really shouldn't be getting anything for free.
I know.
It's not like, "We'll give you the price if it was mislabeled." Sure, we'll honor that price. I think that's fair. And most retail should do that. As long as it's a reasonably priced thing. It's one thing if, you know, Skippy ended up putting, you know, $5 on a $500 computer. I get it. You can't honor that. Somebody screwed up. Yeah. And maybe for that, they'll end up, you know, losing their job. But we can't honor that sort of a screw up. Mm-hmm. But when it's reasonable, I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But that's, no. We used to have that in radio quite often. You'd have people that would try and get free prizes when they didn't win the contest. It would be all the time. It would be, and the radio station, they didn't want to deal with the headache of, because some people knew the system. Some people just knew the stations that would do this shit and would just bow down and give them whatever. And if they didn't, they would like threaten legal action against you. And it's like, well, what are we going to do? Are you going to turn involved, or are we going to give them like the concert ticket or the CD or some bullshit?
Or the Wii.
Or the Wii. Yes, the Wii. The Wii. I have a good Wii story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was a total case of somebody trying to get something for free. So Nintendo Wii was the hot item of 2006. So I don't know. And it was very hard to get your hands on one. But there were people getting scammed at that point in time, left and right online, back when pop-up ads and banner ads were the big thing of the internets. There's a whole generation doesn't even know what the fuck these things are. But they were just annoying ads that would be everywhere. But because it was such a hot item, people were still somewhat new to the internet and clicking on these things and then putting in their information and whatnot. And then either getting scammed, they're thinking they're going to get one in the mail or some bullshit. And it was a big thing that year. So I was on the air and I wanted to do kind of a satire on it. Number one, thinking that the country radio audience in Wichita, Kansas is going to understand satire was my mistake. It's not.
No.
Like, what the hell? Satire? Is that like a new type of velvet? You know, it's like, no, that's not what that is. I did this bit and it was this fake restaurant owner, clearly fake, that was saying, if you come into the restaurant tonight and have dinner, you're going to get a free Wii. Number one, this restaurant was called Stands on the Bay. There is no bay in Wichita. Mm-hmm. There's no water in Wichita. And there's no restaurant called Stands on the Bay. It didn't exist. So there's number one. And what the point of it was that every time Stan kept coming on the air and talking about how he was going to give this Wii away, there kept being more and more stipulations that he would add to it every time. And like, I was playing the good guy, and then the character Stan was like, so it's really, it's just, you come in and you get it for free. Well, yeah, I mean, you do that, and then you get a baked potato, and then if your wife dances with me a little bit, you know, just one slow dance will be good, you know, and then you get the... Wait, so someone's wife has to come dance with you, Stan? That seems a little, it's the holidays, you know, it's just a little bit. And then it kept escalating more and more and more to just ridiculous shit. You know, like, some, I think got to the point of like, you have to give him like your first, like your, one of your pets or something. It was crazy shit. And then it was like, this is a scam, isn't it? You don't have any Wii's. And then it was like, oh, you caught me. It was a scam. So it was a funny satirical how all these people are getting scammed. Really just be aware. That was the lesson of the bit.
Yeah.
Okay. There was no, we were giving away at the end. The radio station never said, we're going to give away a Wii or anything like that. It was a bit. It was a funny bit. Well, one dumbass couple, decided that they were going to tell their child that we're going to go to this restaurant tonight and we're going to get a Wii. It's like, what the fuck? Well, that's what they claimed anyway. They claimed they told their child. So it's my fault because they didn't figure out that this was completely bullshit. Even though it was presented as bullshit the entire time. And then when they found out it was fake, they were very upset that they upset their child because they promised them that they were going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not at all what was said on the air. That wasn't presented that way. This is, it was me digging into this fake restaurant owner, trying to figure out why the hell you would do this. And so then they came back. This is over Christmas break, that I remember going through this email hell. So it totally fucked up a whole holiday for me being away, because I'm nervous and worried I'm going to lose my job. Mm-hmm. And then they threatened they're going to sue the station and sue me and this and that. And it's false advertising and all the bullshit that, you know, just degenerate pieces of shit like this pull out of their back pocket to try and get free shit out of.
Yeah.
So, get back after the holiday and the general manager's like, we have the tape of everything. Obviously we have the evidence that you never said you're giving away a Wii on the air, but in order to like do this, like we'd have to fight them in court and it would be expensive. So I'm just going to go buy them a fucking Wii. So they bought them a Wii. And then the assholes have the audacity after they get their fucking Wii. And I see them in the general manager's office talking while I'm on the air. GM comes into me. Oh, they'd like to talk to you. I'm like, what the fuck? And I go in there. I'm like, I'm nice and polite. Like, hi. Like, oh, we hope you don't have any hard feelings. We really love your show. We listen all the time. We think you're so funny. Oh, we just listen to your, we just love your station. You're so great. Just like, I wanted to fucking punt them out of the building.
Yeah.
Like, you put me through this stress of the last couple of weeks and you threatened to sue us and you're shown you're wrong and you still want your fucking Wii. And then you have the audacity to tell me how much you love the show. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. Go fuck yourself. So I think I've been waiting like, I don't know, 15 years to say that on the air. Oh God. I hope you got electrocuted by your fucking Wii. Not the kid, the poor kid. The kid has these, you know, imbeciles as parents, but God knows. I wonder where that kid is today.
Do you feel better now?
I do. I feel much better. That's one of my office horror stories. Good. Right there. Deep breath. Deep breath. 833-HATE-JOB is our phone number. 833-HATE-JOB to share your office horror stories with us. And on that fun note, I think we'll wrap up today's episode of Office Horror Stories. It's rare I kind of dig into one. I wasn't even planning on sharing that story.
You went into it.
I did. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Follow us on Instagram. I'm at Tony Bruschi. She's at Jenny Bruschi. Bruschi, spelled B-R-U-E-S-K-I. Until next time, thanks for listening to Office Horror Stories.